What's the...
Stay about 15 seconds.
What fascinating thing is that hill we opened up in Laos, that command post.
Oh.
That really, we... There was Japas around there. We didn't obviously kill him, but we killed in bombing in Laos another major military figure earlier. But they.
Well, could you mention that when the time comes up?
Do you want shots of the map now, David?
No, after.
All right. So. Anytime you're ready.
Okay. If you would simply discuss once again the comparison between Dien Bien Phu and Khe San, talk particularly about the fact that Khe San's on a plateau.
The analogy between Dien Bien Phu and Khe San was obviously in the minds of the North Vietnamese. There were three major differences. First, that we had perhaps a 20-to-1 superiority over the French situation in the air power we could bring to bear, about an 8-to-1 superiority in the supply capability with aircraft that came into this airstrip here. And something that was perhaps as important as these kind of resources was the difference in the terrain. Dien Bien Phu was down in a valley, and the North Vietnamese commanded the hills around it, and the French were really trapped defensively. As you can see, the airstrip, which is the principal feature to be centrally defended, was on a plateau, and the forces that we could deploy were in these hills, either with artillery fire or for observation purposes, so that the North Vietnamese, in trying to come up from the south to the north here and try to get a shot at the major forces or the airfield, were very often climbing a hill. And we were shooting down at them. And it was altogether a more comfortable military position, if any military position can be described as comfortable, than the French experienced. And one which, once the battle was joined, did not give a great deal of anxiety to General Westmoreland or to us, once the limits of the enemy's capacities and their own capabilities became clear.
You just mentioned a second ago about a command post in Laos and the killing of a North Vietnamese high-ranking officer.
These forces that deployed essentially mainly south, in some cases to the north and west of this American emplacement, had infiltrated from the north down through Laos, and they had a headquarters somewhere in Laos. I don't know whether that gives you an accurate fix on it. I don't remember precisely where it was. But we attacked it with B-52s and opened up the side of the hill. And we had some prisoner reports that there had been very heavy casualties among the military leadership and staff personnel in that hill. And I don't know what the effects of it in fact were in the field. I believe General Westmoreland feels that attack may have altered the timing of some of the movements round about Tet in a way that were helpful to us. But the air power mobilized in defense of Vietnam, of Khe San, was not merely the most massive kind of operation, but it was the most sophisticated targeting we had achieved. It was under General Momeyer, in my judgment, for the first time, we used our air power properly in a highly coordinated way, using the full potentialities of sophisticated intelligence. And that kind of sophisticated orchestration after the Tet Offensive was then applied in the southern part of North Vietnam on the logistical routes and in Laos. to be turned off by the bombing halt when negotiations began. But that was the use of air power was effective, sophisticated, and worthy of the men on the base.
The final question. Would you say that in any way your involvement with Johnson during the Vietnam War had a particular impact on your career after you left government service? And if so, in what ways?
My involvement with President Kennedy and President Johnson in Southeast Asia, the positions I took, which were wholly consistent with positions that I'd published in the 50s, obviously led to my being associated with a particular position on Vietnam. And I was a part of the controversy, and that's not a very remarkable fact. You're an unusual fact in a democracy. If you're going to play a role in public life, you've got to stand by what you believe. And obviously you're drawn into these controversies. As for affecting my life, I'd say hardly at all, because I knew precisely what I wanted to do academically when I left government. I wanted to write three books, one of which I'd been working on before the war, before going into the President Kennedy's administration, on politics and the stages of growth. I wanted to update and write a book on this period, on the interplay of our domestic life and foreign policy, which I did, and that's the diffusion of power, and I wanted to do a summation, as it were, of my life as an economic historian, as a history of the world economy in the past two centuries. And I've done that, and that happened to take four.
Different shots from the terrain map that we found down at the Hotel Memorial, which we have him describing and talking about it, mm-hmm. and other people. But this would be the White House point of view. See how they saw it. See, I can't go back and forth on this. If I do, I could potentially damage it. This is the reason I'm here. I've got to let it run. This isn't very effective. This is where a lot of the battles are here. Yeah. This is the base. These are enemy. Thank you. Mm-hmm. 8:42. 8:42.